CEOs, civic leaders, entertainers, and entrepreneurs. They all have something in common: the drive, vision, and heart to achieve success. Steve Klein is a renowned business consultant, author, and host of Playmakers Talk Show. Each week, he introduces you to fascinating personalities who will inspire, educate, and motivate you to persevere and find your own success. And now, here's Steve Klein.
Mary Kay said, "It's not those blessed with the most talent who succeed. It's those with the most follow-through." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are two playmakers who follow through. Our first Playmakers company's revenue has risen from $30,000 11 years ago to $35 million last year. Well, our next Playmakers company is the only wholly woman-owned and operated data center in the U.S. With us today is a CEO who began as an accountant and became CEO of the company in 9 years. Well, our next CEO moved her company to Dallas 4 years ago. These great playmakers are Tanya Clark. Tanya is CEO and treasurer of Heritage Health Solutions, and Leanna Dunlap. Leanna is president and founder of CoreSpace, and we're going to begin today's show with Leanna. Leanna Dunlap is the president and founder of CoreSpace, as I mentioned. They're a leading data center and IT hosting provider in Dallas. Founded in 2009, CoreSpace has become the cloud computing, server hosting, co-location, and hybrid hosting provider of choice for advancing small and medium businesses and IT solutions providers across the country. Now, CoreSpace is the only wholly women-owned and operated data center, as I mentioned, and is dedicated to keeping your business online and ongoing so you can do what you do best. Before launching CoreSpace, Leanna accumulated over 20 years of frontline IT experience in a variety of leadership roles with nationally noted companies like Amgen, Disney, and IBM. Well, Leanna, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve.
Well, your business is 7 years old, as I believe I mentioned. What prompted your relocation to Dallas 4 years ago?
So there came a point in time in our business. We were renting some what they call co-location space out of a large facility, and it quickly became apparent to us that we were growing, and in order to grow further in that particular facility, the costs were going to be substantial. So we were trying to figure out what's a really good way so that we could better control our costs. So we had the bright idea, what if we owned and operated our own data center? What we quickly learned was owning a data center is different than renting space in a data center with regards to responsibilities. But we actually started shopping around the country. We looked in Nevada, we looked in Arizona, we looked in Texas, and the right opportunity happened here in Dallas. It's not like I said, let's go to Dallas, but everything came together. IT is growing here in the Metroplex. There's a lot of IT companies moving in, an excellent IT pool for staffing purposes. And just kind of something else to note, the power market's quite a bit different here. So we actually get to pick and choose our power company and pick our rates.
So that's not the same all over the country then?
No, absolutely not, right? So that was totally different in California. So even like in the last year, a year ago, we were able to secure a long-term contract with Green Mountain Energy at like 4-something cents, and huge difference with regards to controlling costs. So that is what really motivated us to get here, is that we wanted to own and operate our own facility, which really gives us an advantage with regards to a lot of our competitors.
So you must have done a lot of research prior to moving it to Dallas then.
Yes, we did. So looking at the different data centers and different buildings, you know, how much is it going to cost to build this out? What are the benefits of going to this city or this town? And it just, the whole thing kind of happened for us here. We actually had the opportunity to not only buy a building that was already operating as a data center, we were actually able to do an acquisition of the company that was already in that building. So we were actually up and running literally day one. We acquired that client base. We hired the staff. We bought the facility itself. It was quite the big chess move and big learning experience, but that's how it all kind of happened for us.
So this was the right place at the right time?
It absolutely was, yes.
What does CoreSpace do as a data center? That's A. And B, how do you differentiate yourself from the competitors? Because a lot of data centers out there, as you mentioned.
Okay. So we target the small to medium-sized businesses. So we're not competing with some of these really big data center companies you've probably heard of, where they're spending, I mean, tens of millions of dollars on their facility, but you're going to pay for that as a client going in as well. We focus to small and medium-sized business. A lot of companies are still hosting and have their application servers in their closet or under their desk.
And I saw those years ago when people began to have to take care of their data. They had one little closet. That's where they put everything.
And there's still a lot of companies doing that. So a huge step up is to either move their servers into like a data center like ours or start letting us host their applications on our server hardware so they don't have to buy server hardware anymore. What sets us apart really is that you could view us as a hosting company that owns their data center, maybe, which is what's really unique. And because of that, we can be really cost competitive. And we also offer a service offering that you really, it's tough to get because we'll put custom packages together that kind of cross boundaries. If you want cloud, co-location, and I won't go into what all those definitions are, what they are, but we can build hybrid environments for our clients that they can't get at a lot of our competitors. And when they call, we pick up the phone. That's a support.
I'm going to ask you about and talk about customer service in just a moment. But you've been in the business for over 20 years, over 20 years prior to starting your company.
Yeah.
Why did you start a data center business?
Okay, so I've been in IT for a long, long time. Started doing kind of a night job, let's just say, when I was, I think I was still at Amgen, IBM at the time, and started doing hosting, just basic hosting, and that's when I got the space out of our first data center space, and it was doing really, really well. So, like I said, the business was doing well, and it was more like, how can we really be more cost competitive in here and really have more control over it, and then that's what led down the business of actually purchasing the data center.
So it became a full-time business for you.
It became a full-time business, and boy, have we learned a lot about owning and operating a data center. Very different than just the hosting piece. So we have to have a couple wings of the business. We still have the technology, and we got to be creative and innovative and custom, and we have the whole, you know, enormous building out this, you know, redundant power infrastructure, the network, the HVAC systems, and everything that goes into that and keep it running.
And I've heard people say, if I only knew then what I know now.
Right.
But sometimes you wouldn't do it because you didn't know too much. A lot to be said from being naive. I mentioned customer service. You brought that up. That's one of your core services is customer service.
Right.
Talk about that, the fact that you pick the phone up.
We pick the phone up. So we are staffed 24/7. So we, our customers that have their servers in our data center can come knock on our door basically at any time, and they can come in and work on their equipment. And we're always there. If you call for support or you submit a ticket for support, all of these people are on site right here at the Dallas headquarters. So we're not outsourcing anything. So it's really important to us that we work with our clients. And, you know, it's surprisingly, even like our sales line, we pick up the sales line. And we have a lot of times customers say, well, oh my gosh, you're like the first company that picked up the phone. I've called three before you. I'm like, well, good. That's great. We, you know, so it's really important for us. It's we know our customers. They know us. We know them. So when you're calling, you know, you can get to know the support staff, and then we get to know the clients. And, you know, so customer service for us is a real top priority because there is competition. Right. So you have to not only have the nice service offering, but they have to want to do business with you. Right.
Well, I would guess that your business is a lot like many, that you are a commodity business. Anybody can have a data center, but it's how you stand out and what you do differently to take care of me, your client.
That's true. That's true. It is a bit of a commodity, call it what it is. And with the right money, anybody can get in it. Would they want to? I don't know. So for us, the service piece, and we're really also moving towards trying to be more innovative in our technology solutions that we can offer clients. So we're having to differentiate ourselves a little bit by doing that and partnering with a lot of other local managed service provider IT companies here in Dallas. A managed service provider, the one who might come to your office and make it so you can print and fix your PCs. We work with guys like that. But yeah, it is a bit of a commodity. So to really set yourself apart, it's your service offering, it's the service you're providing, and then trying to be more innovative in what you're doing.
It sounds like your business is becoming a consulting business too.
Absolutely. We have a few things we're working on right now. Customers say, you know, we have these humongous files that we're trying to email internationally, and it's not working, and what might be some options. And so we're really having to think about what might that look like. We can't, some customers you can kind of fit their solution in a nice little box, and others you can't. You really got to design something from the ground up. So, well,
three areas I found on your website we talked about. One of them was core service. You also have core flexibility and core scalability. Talk about those.
So flexibility, scalability. We're one of the few data centers right now that will offer you as low as what they call like 2U of colocation space, which is basically this much. It's enough to put a
server in. For smaller businesses.
Yeah, exactly. That might be all they need. But if you want to grow that, we have the ability to grow pretty much to whatever you need.
So I can start small a little bit and grow with you over a period of time.
Yeah, whatever you need. And then we'll work with you on that. The flexibility is there's our data centers that are local here that you might have to make an appointment before you go in to work on your equipment. You may have to give 24-hour notice. You don't have to do that. So if you got an issue personally in your business, you got to deal with it. Just show up, make sure you've got your ID, you're in our system approved, and you can come in. We have a lounge set up for clients so they can work. Another thing is with regards to scalability is in the world of cloud. I know it gets confusing. We talk about cloud, but from a business standpoint, businesses that are implementing new applications for their business, it could be HR systems, proprietary systems they need to run their business. Typically, in the old days, they'd have to like, okay, so we're going to put this application. We got to buy this server hardware. We got to figure out how we're going to back it up and where we're going to put it on. And that's a huge process as part of building out a new system. Scalability in the world of cloud, you just spin something up, literally it's ready to go, so you don't have to buy any equipment. You may only need this much right now, and literally with a click of a button you can double the size of your resources when you need it, and then if you don't need it, you scale it right back versus buying, exchanging hardware, spending the money.
So you have more than one location, is that correct?
Yes.
Where else do you have locations?
So we have a location still out of Los Angeles, because we do have some clients that want to be there, or they want to have some of their data, offsite in a DR sort of a disaster recovery sort of situation. We also have a good presence over here at the InfoMart, which is that big giant white building. When you're heading into downtown, I'm sure you know what building I'm talking about.
Everybody knows that.
Right. Well, that is a huge data center. But we have a space in there because that gives us access to connectivity and different internet service providers, so that our clients who may want different companies have that option. And then we also have a presence in New York.
We have a lot to offer. Tell everybody how they can get a hold of you on the web.
Well, we're at corespace.com. And on the website, you can call us. There's the phone numbers there. They can call us, and we're going to pick up the line. Also, a lot of our clients, they're IT people, so they want to email. So you can email directly to sales@corespace.com. There's even a president's message page. So if you want to email me directly with any comments or feedback, there's a form on there. And if you fill that out, it actually comes directly to me. So that's how you really get a hold of us. And we are open to doing tours. Our address is over there too, Mockingbird and 183.
And the address, thecorespace.com, and all the information is also on PlaymakersTalkShow.com, too. Leanna, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
All right, thank you.
Leanna Dunlap is the president and founder of CoreSpace. Don't go away, we have more. We're going to talk health for veterans with the CEO of Heritage Health Solutions. Her name is Tanya Clark. Back with Tanya right after this.
Wipe Out Kids Cancer is a Dallas-based nonprofit organization founded in 1980 dedicated to raising awareness and funding for pediatric cancer research on a national basis. Wipe Out Kids Cancer has raised over $4 million in the crusade against pediatric cancer and spent over 30 years developing programs to not only fight childhood cancer, but to also provide hope and support to kids and families battling cancer. Our mission is to work relentlessly for a day when children are living cancer-free. You can help make a difference. Go to WOKC.org to donate or volunteer. That's WOKC.org.
Operation Kindness is the original and largest no-kill animal shelter in North Texas, having saved more than 80,000 cats and dogs over almost 40 years. On a day-to-day basis, Operation Kindness cares for approximately 300 cats and dogs, with another 150 in foster homes. In the past 12 months, more than 4,200 homeless cats and dogs have received medical care, clean shelter, nutritious food, and playtime until they were adopted into a new forever home. Go to OperationKindness.org to adopt or foster a dog or cat. Donate or volunteer. That's OperationKindness.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. This segment, we're going to speak with Tanya Clark. Tanya is Heritage Health Solutions Chief Executive Officer and Treasurer. She has 20 years of financial operations, tax, and management experience, and is responsible for managing all the elements of Heritage's operations. Now, Heritage Health Solutions, owned by a service-disabled veteran, provides healthcare delivery and management, pharmacy, medical cost containment, and telemedicine services to federal, state, county, and municipal agencies. Heritage is in its 10th year providing pharmacy first fill prescription services to more than 1 million military veterans at more than 700 VA medical clinic locations across the country. Now, Tanya began her accounting career with PricewaterhouseCoopers, where she focused on state and local tax and financial system implementations. Tanya also partnered in a boutique accounting firm where she served as a financial and tax advisor to professional service firms, manufacturers, physician practices, and high net worth individuals. Well, Tanya, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, you joined the company 2 years after it started. You've been there 9 years. The company is 11 years old. Tell us about your journey from accountant, where you, as the position you started, to your recent appointment as CEO.
Well, happy to do so. So this kind of goes back to the year 2007. I had my own accounting practice, and Jim Rosengren, who owns Heritage Health Solutions, walked into my office one afternoon. We sat down. We met at the conference table. He had this new business, wasn't sure what to do with it from an accounting perspective, and really needed to outsource the accounting function and overall supervision to an accounting firm. He had a bookkeeper in his office. So in 2007, he became my client, and we did his bookkeeping work, we did his tax work, and many afternoons would go by, he'd called me just for advice. How do you find funding? What do we do? How do we, you know, what do we need to do for payroll? That sort of thing. Any small business owner who starts out knows that those first couple of years, you're just trying to figure out, one, how do you get your product to market? But then there's this, all this office stuff that has to happen. So my firm handled the accounting office stuff, so to speak. In summer of 2010, I was sitting in the Heritage Health's office doing my accounting thing and was finding that I was really there more often than I wasn't. And so I walked in to Jim's office one afternoon that summer and said, you know, I'm reconciling, we're getting ready to do the financials for this month, and you really need to think about having someone here full time.
Now, had you thought in the back of your mind that could be you?
Well, yes. I mean, by that point in time, Jim and I had developed a great working relationship. You know, it's a great thing to be someone's consultant. You get to give them your opinion, and they can take it or not, right? I mean, that's the great thing about consulting. So when I walked in, I was prepared that when we had that conversation, he was going to turn it around and offer it to me. So as I stated before, I walked into his office, said, you guys have grown to the extent you've got so much money rolling through this company, you need someone internal. And he looked at me and he said, okay, what do you want? Well, never really been asked that, right? Coming from public accounting when I started my career to then owning my own practice, what I wanted was not always front and center. So I told him, you know, give me a little bit of time to think about that, and, you know, maybe we can meet for lunch in a week or so. So we met for lunch. I laid out what I wanted, and he said, okay, done. And so that's where it all started. Ended up selling out my partnership in that firm. Started with Heritage full-time in October of 2010. Fast forward about 2 years, we're growing, things are changing, and Jim calls me one Friday afternoon about 11 o'clock, and he said, at 1 o'clock, I'm making you president.
Just like that.
Just like that. Just so you know, I didn't want you to see the email and be surprised.
That was nice of
you. So, you know, at the time thought, oh, okay, you know, do I have any part of this conversation? But evidently not, because it's going out to the whole company in a few hours. So in 2012, took over the role as president, maintained the role as CFO, and really for the first time in my entire career, had to balance operational needs with financial needs. And anybody who's been in an organization and has that responsibility, you know that often the financial need and the operational need are in conflict. How do you hire more sales guys if the budget's not there, but can you get the budget where it needs to be if you don't have people on the road? So I'm spent, you know, about 3 or 4 years in the president's role. And then at some point last year, Jim came to me and said, okay, he wanted to take an even higher level role in the organization, really pull out of most of the day-to-day operational stuff. And he sat down and said, okay, you know, let's start the transition of you from president, CFO to CEO. Jim became executive chairman, and that's kind of where we are today. People have asked me, you know, what's different about the role. I think I've been in the organization for so long and know so much about how we got from where we were to where we are today. It really was just a natural transition. Don't feel that my day today is any different today than it was 6 months or 2 years ago. Obviously, we have a path to pave forward, and you know, it's my responsibility to get the organization there.
You mentioned Jim's name a couple of times, Jim Rosengren.
Correct.
Who started the company 11 years ago. When he started it, you two started a relationship, which is why you're where you are today. And as I mentioned at the very beginning, that the company was doing about $30,000 to begin with.
Correct.
And last year did $35 million. What happened to grow that large?
Well, a couple of things happened. One, when Jim started the organization, he focused, first of all, on what we term an inside VA emergent fill. So what that means is a veteran goes to a community-based clinic and needs a prescription for an emergent need medication. They'll use our program to go to a pharmacy to get that medication, just like you or I would under our traditional healthcare plan. So in 2006, Heritage won the first contract with the VA, actually here in North Texas, to do that work. Over a period of time, because of our service and reputation, we've been able to grow that book of business significantly. And then in the fall of 2007, Heritage was awarded the National Managed Care contract for detainees in the custody of the United States Marshals Service. So it's healthcare, but it's a different kind of healthcare. If a detainee needs to leave the walls of the prison to be seen by a physician, they'll fall under our program. We have a provider network. We reprice the claim. We pay the providers, and then we do some pharmacy fulfillment back in to those facilities. So that Marshall's contract really was a turning point in the organization to launch. You know, those were the first couple of years where the company became profitable and was able to really grow and develop. I think we've talked a lot today about service. That's what we're about.
That's all you really have.
That's all that it is. It is. It's what we have, particularly in the federal space. It's incredibly important. What we do really well on the Heritage side is manage that federal contract. And, you know, we have a great customer service and account management team that really do build these programs that are extraordinarily specialized. They're not like a consumer-driven healthcare plan. They're very specific. They serve very specific populations with very unique healthcare needs. What an inmate in a detention facility needs is nowhere comparable to what a veteran will need when they walk out of a clinic.
Interesting when you talk about customer service regarding the federal government, that those two usually don't go together. But you are taking that beyond that. So is your work primarily federal with the VA and the Marshal Services?
It is on the Heritage side. Separate and apart, we've launched a PBM to focus on commercial.
And tell me what PBM is.
Oh, PBM is a pharmacy benefit management company. So we've launched Prism RX. That's our commercial arm. They focus on the pharmacy benefit services in the commercial environment. Heritage really sticks to more that federal contracting side. That's where we're good.
So what are the growth opportunities? Where are you going from here? You've grown a lot in 11 years. Where are you going from here?
Well, on the Heritage side, we continue to focus on federal opportunities. There's any number of healthcare opportunities in the federal space that fall outside of Affordable Care Act. One of our most recent growth opportunities is with the Camp Lejeune Family Members Plan. This is a government program that is there to assist family members who were impacted by contaminated water at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina from the years 1950s to the mid-1980s. The water on that base was contaminated. And as a result, there's about 15 or 16 specific disease states that people who consume that contaminated water are now being diagnosed with having. And so this program focuses on family members who have come down with, most of these diseases are cancer. So we do the pharmacy benefit management and coordination of benefit for those family members under that program. So that's a program that's in its infancy. It will continue to grow over time. Another areas we look at these very specific federal programs that have very specific criteria. Again, they're all outside of the Affordable Care Act. It's not what you and I think about as, you know, Medicare or Medicaid, Affordable Care Act type plans, but very specific populations with very specific needs. The other part of our growth will come from PRISM. We have established a wonderful track record and past performance record in the federal space. And as a small business, what we were experiencing within our own health plan when we would go out and go to market and look at health plans for our own employees was that we were not getting the service that we had become so accustomed to giving our clients. And so that was really the launch of PRISM, and that's our differentiator in the market. You don't have to sacrifice cost for service. And we continue to see that. And that's sort of the feedback we get when we go to market in the commercial space with PRISM. How do you put together an effective pharmacy benefit plan that meets the needs of your employees, is cost effective? Because the pharmacy spend overall is beginning to outpace medical spend. And for small businesses, particularly those who are beginning to venture from fully insured plans to what's termed self-insured plans, you know, it only takes one big prescription to blow your budget. And so that's what we bring. We have a clinical staff in our office who is there as an advisor, clinical pharmacists that help our clients understand if you have a choice between prescription A and prescription B, which one's best. And it's discussion not only with regard to clinical outcome, but budget. Are they both equally effective? And then how do you talk about adherence, and how do you keep people on medication so you can avoid the expensive hospitalization visit later? So it's a multifaceted approach to delivering the pharmacy benefit. And because we do both the medical and the pharmacy for the Marshals Service, we really have a lot of insight as to how those two interplay together and the overall quality of health for people and the cost. Because at the end of the day, we have businesses who have to fund it.
Well, tell everybody where they can find those two websites. And tell them what the two websites are to find out more about you.
Sure. Well, Heritage Health Solutions is heritagehealthsolutions.com. And for PRISM, you'll find us at prismpbm.com.
Well, Tanya, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
Tanya Clark, CEO and Treasurer of Heritage Health Solutions. Prior to Tanya, we had Leanna Dunlap. She is the President and Founder of CoreSpace. This has been a terrific show. Thank you very much for listening to us. And thank you, our Playmakers, for being on the show. Join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com. And we'll be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join him again next Friday at 3 p.m. for another sit-down with DFW's most interesting Playmakers.